Brian and Cindy are 67 and 64, and they have $1.1 million in their retirement portfolio. But the market is in the middle of a large downturn, and their target dates are looming. Should they stick to their plan and retire, or should they delay and put together a better plan? Stay tuned next to see their red, yellow, or green light assessment. Welcome to Rise in Retirement,
where it is our goal to help optimize and simplify your financial plan.
I'm Jet.
And I'm Taco.
We are financial advisors at W.A. Smith Financial Group, a firm trusted by thousands of individuals, clients. We work with people all over the U.S., helping you focus more on your life so that you can worry less about your money. And we have a case example today featuring Brian and Cindy.
Yeah, so Brian and Cindy, 67 and 64, respectively. Couple that they're still working. However, retirement dates are set and very close and near here. Due to a stock market decline and current market volatility that is happening, they're worried that they've now lost too much of that saved nest egg to actually follow through with their retirement timeline. So they're wondering, do we have to delay this now? Because we've got 1.1 million now, but we had way more than that when we made the decision to retire. So this is a fun one to start talking through.
We've talked about a risk known to you as sequence of return risk many times on this show. And this is a prime example of it. Brian and Cindy's portfolio lost significant value over just the last 6 to 8 months.
Yep.
They set their target date 6 to 8 months ago, and almost synonymously with setting the date, the market fell into an extended downturn. And there's your sequence of return risk. What used to be 1.5 million, which felt like enough, is now 1.1, and they're knocking on retirement's doorstep. The target date's around the corner.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, what should they have done to avoid this is one thing that we want to talk about. But probably more importantly, now that it's happened, is there anything that they can do now,
right,
other than just delaying the target date and pushing it off, which is the last thing anyone wants to do?
Yeah.
Especially because I know from experience that people have these countdown clocks on their phone, and they're either counting days or they're counting Mondays, and it gets real exciting for you when you get there. I can't imagine having to say, oh, let's put another 6 months or a year into this.
Sure.
How deflating that probably feels.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a fun one. I mean, we're going to be talking, you know, the advisor in this situation, talking income, we're going to be talking risk. There's a lot of parts that go into this. And so I know these are concerns that a lot of you may be having as well. And so we have an opportunity for you to talk through your situation. If you head to riseinretirement.com, you can book a free 30-minute call with a member of our advisory team to start talking through these very similar situations that you may be having. So head over there when you're done watching this video. We'll talk more about that as we go along as well.
Link to Rise in Retirement is in the description below, so check that out. We'll jump into Brian and Cindy's case example here. So, mentioned it already, they had 1.5 8 months ago. Extended downturn in the market, it's worth 1.1 now. They haven't added anything, they haven't subtracted anything. No withdrawals, no additions. Of that 1.1 million, 775,000 is in their traditional IRAs. Cindy has one, Brian has one. 300,000 is in a joint brokerage account, 50-50 ownership. 25,000 is all they have on hand at the bank in cash, accessible cash that they could spend. No debts or liabilities, so they're in good shape there. And other than the cash, both IRAs and the joint account are invested as a 75% stock, 25% bond allocation. All three accounts have the exact same allocation. And they're working with a financial advisor who's charging them 1.25% annually to manage the allocation. Yet for many years now in working with this advisor, the allocation has been exactly the same. Not a single change has been recommended or made.
Yep.
And there is no proactive discussion going on. So if you set aside the thought of maybe we shouldn't retire because our portfolio was here and now it's here, there's also very likely some concern about the style of advice or the planning that, or lack thereof, that is being done for them. I think they Brian and Cindy are lacking confidence in the financial professional that is set to help them do this.
Yeah, supposed to be the one guiding them to these glorious days. And so their goal at the end of the day is to retire soon. That was the goal. Start taking a withdrawal from their portfolio, from their nest egg, to supplement their income sources that they have access to. They want to live comfortable. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear their income need and you're going to go, gosh, how do you spend that much money? Because they do. Plain and simple. They like to travel. They like to do all these different things. So they want to continue that lifestyle with no changes in retirement. And they want to leave some money to kids and grandkids if possible. That'd be nice. It's not a priority they want to go out of the way for, but it's something they would like to see. They've always been comfortable with the risk that their advisor put them into. Like you said, no changes have been made.
This was not I thought we were more conservative, but we're actually aggressive.
Yeah.
Something that we would, in our portfolio stress test that we do with people like you watching, that is something that we could help them uncover. But no, they know.
They knew.
Yeah.
It wasn't until recently that this market volatility and that the risk and losses started to bother them because, again.
Why is that?
You know, it's because you saw 1.5 million. You got a statement one day that said, "Oh gosh, we have 1.5 million, honey. We're in great shape. You know, let's put in that retirement date." And all of a sudden, you get a statement that says 1.1, and you think, "Gosh, what could we have done with 400,000? Are we okay now?"
Yeah,
that's the conversations that are being had at home. Is, can we do this now? We just lost 25% of our total,
which leads to what if this market extends down another 6 months or 8 months beyond this, and what if the growth takes years to come back? I mean, remember 2008, Brian?
Right.
Remember 2008, Cindy? It took 4 to 5 years for people who didn't sell to get back to even. Do we have that kind of time? Are we going? Translation: can we take a withdrawal and spend our money confidently the way we want to? With that being our scenario and that being a potential future that we could be living through while we're taking withdrawals.
Yep.
That's where the scare comes in, if you ask me.
Yeah. And so that's the objective now is, hey, you know, how do they gain control? How do they get back, you know, back on track? Can they retire? They need 13 grand per month. I told you that number was going to be high.
Gross before taxes.
Yep. So that's not net, you know, probably netting 10, 11 after we
still
take out
though,
taxes.
10, 11, I mean, you might be going, wow, how do you spend that much money?
But that's everything. That's their basics. That's their discretionary. That's all the things that they've built into a budget that they've been living like for the last 25, 30 years. That's how they're going to continue. So if they choose to retire now, they both have access to Social Security, 3,000 and 2,000. So got 5 grand coming in from Social Security, meaning we have a shortfall of $8,000 gross. $96,000 per year, which is now a withdrawal rate of roughly 8.7%.
What would that withdrawal rate have been before they lost the money?
Yeah, so prior to the downturn, when they made that decision with the 1.5 million, we were looking at about a just over 6% withdrawal rate annually at that time.
Yeah, so the withdrawal rate went up 2%+
yeah.
in 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. They didn't have lofty legacy goals, if you recall. So 6.4, you know, I think if we're looking at that, it's, hey, there's a lot of planning that needs to be done to make sure that we're on a good track. But they were there, right? And they don't want to leave a bunch of money behind. So it was more, hey, we need cash flow. And I think they were in a spot to do that.
Let me ask you a question. As a veteran financial planner who we've been doing income planning for our entire careers here at W.A. Smith, this exact type of case, different ins and outs to each case, obviously. In this scenario, someone prior to them going from 1.5 down to 1.1, they have 1.5 million. You're looking at a withdrawal rate of 6.4%. Does that scare you?
Again, it depends on the needs or the end goals and if they're willing to do planning. No, it doesn't scare
Knowing
me.
Knowing that they do not have lofty legacy and estate goals, does it scare you?
No, I think, you know, we talk red light, yellow light, green light all the time, right? I think that scenario before the market downturn was probably a yellow with, hey, we just need to do some proper financial income planning now, and we'll get to a green light.
Mm-hmm. Over time, yeah.
Over time. And so, no, I don't, it wouldn't have scared me at all.
Their withdrawal rates basically ballooned. So the key point here before we jump into what could they have done, what should they do now? The withdrawal rate has ballooned, and I think mentally speaking, they're where they should be. I think this is a question or a concern that they should be having. If they have it in their power, how firm are those target dates?
Right.
Have they told their employer? Is the date set? Has their replacement been hired? I mean, think of all the logistical things that go on with leaving a workforce if you've been at a career for X amount of years. Do they have the ability to change course? Or is it too late? So those are things that need to be discussed. But ultimately, we want to get into what should they have done first? What could they do now? What could they do in the future? We mentioned RiseInRetirement.com earlier. Head over to RiseInRetirement.com, link in the description below. Book that 30-minute phone call. If you want to talk about your specific scenario with a financial advisor, that is a perfect way to start. It's free, no obligation, complimentary. As part of our process, things like a portfolio stress test to understand what your actual risk level is inside your portfolio and how it matches up to what your risk tolerance level is. Let's understand that for the first time in some cases. Better than you ever have before.
I think we have an issue here with Brian and Cindy of the type of advisor they're working with. Mm. There's a free guide on how to hire the right financial advisor. You know, these are neat things that you can go to RiseInRetirement.com and get access to.
Make sure to check it out.
Yeah. So where did we go wrong? And I kind of alluded to it, I think, the advisor, but
yeah, you gave it away. I mean, one of them is, I don't think I've heard this saying before. And I truly believe in this. When it comes to an advisor or seeking guidance, professional advice, what got you here won't always get you there. There's a loyalty factor that comes into play wrongfully for way too many people. Brian and Cindy might like the advisor that they're working with. They could be with this advisor for 10, 15, the last 20 years. They've helped. This advisor has helped them build their wealth in some capacity. So there's an undue loyalty factor in some cases. If you fast forward to the present, their allocation hasn't changed in multiple years.
What are you paying a fee for?
Paying 1.25% for the management of your investments. What management?
Yeah.
That's one thing if there's trades being happened and proactive allocation adjustments, but even in that in of itself, even if that is occurring for Brian and Cindy, I don't think it's worth 1.25% annually.
No, I think where they've got failed, you know, the advisor failed on them, is that conversations should have been happening well in advance of even 6 to 8 months ago about when and what retirement's going to look like, and things should have changed. Mm-hmm. Like you said, what got you here is not going to get you there. The growth, great. It got you to being able to pick a retirement date. But at some point we had to start building a retirement income plan that says, hey, in 6 to 8 months when you need income, here's where it's going to come from. And I don't care what type of market we're in. You're going to be okay.
Yeah. It can be and you can do this a number of different ways, but 6 to 8 months ago, 12 months ago, when this retirement date formalized, even if it wasn't given to the employer yet, the conversation of we need to have 2 years worth, 3 years worth, 4 years worth of income ready and available and at a lower risk allocation than what you currently have right now is the number one mistake that was made.
Yeah.
And two things happen there. The clients, you know, Brian and Cindy, maybe they weren't aggressive enough in their seeking of that guidance. So it can be your fault, believe it or not. If you have a good financial professional, advisor, financial planner, it should never be on you. That's the way I believe it. The advisor should be the one guiding that conversation. So whether you're thinking about it or not, if it's not brought to your attention and adjustments aren't suggested, if needed, because they're not always needed.
Right.
But the conversation absolutely at least has to take place.
Yeah.
And it never did.
A foundation for income has to be there. And so bottom line is, unfortunately, Brian and Cindy are getting a red light here.
Yeah.
Because as an advisor, a withdrawal rate of over 8% day one heading into retirement at their ages, they have a long life to live
in a dicey market.
In a dicey market, which is a market that you typically don't want to start making changes now, but, you know, it's a red light because I think the sustainability of that is a big challenge. And there's a lot of variables now that could, you know, we talk about this, a big market recovery quickly could get them right back on track and back into a yellow green. But we don't know that. Nobody knows what the market's going to do at that point. So,
well, we're not considering what about emergency expenses? What about unpredictable expenses? What about the things that you can't plan for?
Yeah.
What about health scares? What about, what if they live long past their life expectancy and they're into their late 90s or 100 years old? Is that withdrawal rate sustainable? So, you know, you might be dropping a comment and they're like, oh, they're fine. They have plenty of money. And maybe they do, but there are plenty of things that can occur between now and the future that will cause it to go the opposite way. So you can believe all day long. And yeah, maybe they would get lucky and it would work out. But if you're employing someone to help you build this and you want, I don't want to say certainties, but you want some level of security and knowing that it's not all going to blow up in your face, you can't enter retirement this way.
Agreed. Yeah. And I think my key takeaway, you know, Jet, biggest thing I think is that they never adjusted their investment strategy proactively. Their advisor didn't, you know, proactively shift the focus towards retirement and income and foundation. With those target dates approaching, they just left things as is.
Yep.
And that's why they're in the shape that they're in. So, you know, that you got to get a plan in place before you're ready to retire.
My key takeaway is based on what we know here in this example, I don't know that I would trust the advisor to save them at this point either.
Yeah.
I think they need to find someone who's going to give them some ideas such as, hey, have you thought about working part-time and how that could affect your success rate? Have you thought about doing a phased retirement or putting retirement off a little bit until this thing recovers and we can take control of it again? Are you willing to adjust your income goal down and spend less? Maybe we can still make it work. If your advisor that you're paying money to do this for you is not helping you with those conversations, you're in the wrong spot.
Yep.
So that is all the time we have for today. I want to remind you to like, share, subscribe, turn the bell notification on. Make sure you're with us here every Sunday when we drop new episodes of Rise in Retirement. Don't forget about riseinretirement.com. Link in the description below.
And that'll do it here today. We'll see you next week on Rise in Retirement.